Media recognition from Bloomberg, Reuters, Recycling Trade Publications. Patented process for 100% recovery of critical metals, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, aluminum. American Manganese is focused on recycling lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles. American Manganese trades on the TSX Venture, AMY, the U.S., AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit AmericanManganeseInc.com or phone me, Larry Ray, at 778-574-4444.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit. He's the editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Glad to be here, Jim. Thank you for having me.
And Mark, do you have a special offer for our listeners?
I do, and I just want to also say as a disclaimer that I'm not a financial advisor, nor do I give financial advice, and VR Trader is an educational publication, VRTrader.com, that's V as in Victor, R as in Robert Trader, and we do have a 50% discount for anyone who'd like to sign up for any of our newsletters for any time frame. It's a promo code, and it is 2021 half off, 2021 HALFOFF.
Mark, the crude market hitting $130 roughly a barrel, falling into the 90s. Is this going to be something that you really have to keep a close eye on because it just takes one tanker being hit by a shell or something to skyrocket the price of oil?
Well, topped out, that's for sure. And the question is how much of a correction, you know, more we're going to get. The charts are, you know, a bit negative. We sort of held support here a little bit on the pullback. But to me, it, you know, sort of looked like a blow off, all tied to the Ukrainian news and so forth. So, my gut feeling, you know, long term is much higher, but short to near term, it looks like we hit a peak. So let's see, how it unfolds. I think that big money was made already on this trade. And, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised by the end of the year, it's a lot lower again. So let's just, the place to be is more on the short side here, the way it's been acting the last 10 or so trading days. Looked like it rallied and failed, and some of the indicators are still sort of down, but I guess some news event like you just suggested could change things overnight. Bottom line for me is I think we've had our play there. I mean, the big move, those who made a lot of money made it on this big spike in the last few weeks, and I don't know if I'd be holding my breath here for a super big move right now. I think you had it.
Any confidence in your government handling the energy crisis, especially when it comes to Europe?
Zero confidence in the U.S. government, particularly, you know, those in charge of that subject to handle anything competently. I mean, anyone who would take us, away from the energy production area or cancel pipelines obviously has, a motive beyond, keeping prices down or securing the security of the country. I just think it's I don't know how else to describe it. It's insanity. Liberalism is a mental disorder. I use that expression a lot. There's also delusional contagion going on among a lot of things. So I don't think they're going to handle it. I mean, look what they try to do. They released some of the emergency oil reserves, which is ridiculously a small amount compared to what it would need to really change the price. So they really don't know what they're doing. And I don't think they want to do what needs to be done, Jim. So it's a political move. They just decided that they want EVs and they want to shut down the oil and gas industry. So no matter what it takes to do that, they're going to continue on their present position. So what does that say? It says there's going to be shortages going forward. And, whether they could. They have no intention of solving the problem, but does that mean crude oil is going to explode again, or whether there's some other production that will start to come out here, or we'll start receiving, production from other parts of the world? But
I'm just recalling California, where electric vehicles are popular. Last summer, during the heat wave and the forest fires, they had brownouts and blackouts. So much for your electric car.
See, this is the big problem. They want everything converted by, was it year 2035? And is there going to be enough infrastructure to charge those cars? And where is the electricity going to come from? like you say, if there's a brownout, can we actually produce enough electricity? And I don't think you can, and you're not going to get enough from solar. And, you know, uranium has been rallying because, you know, the thought came, which we've known for decades, that, you know, nuclear power is probably your answer for long-term sustainability. But, you know, there's still a lot of resistance to that. But, you know, stocks, the strongest stocks you talk about, or sectors, you mentioned crude oil, but natural gas has been actually strong here because of what's going on in Europe, and uranium. So that seems to be where the play is here more than, even lithium pulled back a little bit, and that's, of course, your big EV product. So natural gas is hot here, but uranium continues to be strong. And I think ultimately, as in, like I said, we've known for decades, I mean, the ultimate source for consistent long-term power is nuclear power. You're not going to get it, wind and solar and all these other places. And unfortunately for nuclear, it takes years to get plants opened up. So, you know, like your statement about California, I mean, they probably need 10 or 20 nuclear plants out there to avoid the brownout situations that would happen in the future, unless, of course, somebody sabotages the lines out there and you can't get electricity for other reasons. But it'll be interesting. Of course, California is a crazy place anyway. You can just about expect anything and that you can't even imagine happening out there. So, but the big problem is providing that need power for these vehicles. And will they be able to do it by 2035?
Yeah, and California also is always complaining about droughts, but they waste most of their water. They have open canals. They irrigate during the day and the sun evaporates most of the water. If you covered the agricultural canals and watered the plants at night, you would keep 90% of it from evaporating.
So who made up that guideline?
Why do they water during the day? I don't know. Maybe the farmers don't like to supervise stuff at night. Although here in the Vancouver area, a lot of the irrigation is done by robots, and they just run themselves whenever, and they're programmed to crawl around the field and spray water. So why not do it at night when you can use less and not have it all evaporate? So again, the solutions are there. We just ignore them.
And we have also, you know, fertilizer shortages now occurring. So we start talking about farming and watering, you know, can we grow the crops if we don't have the ability to fertilize them? There's shortages as we've been hearing going on, and food prices are going up, and it looks like we're going to get more of a squeeze on the food. I mean, there's all this talk about starvation in different parts of the world and shortages. I mean, you know, when I look in the stores, I see, you know, less products on the shelf, you know, going into food places that I'm familiar with. And also I've noticed, if you look at one of the big stocks, Costco here in the U.S., stock is virtually at all-time highs, but when you go in, you see the shelves are a little bit empty. So I'm just wondering, people are anticipating food shortages, and Costco's doing a bang-up business, and that could be driving the stock up. But there has been talk, and there have been real food shortages already, and the prices are moving up. So this is something to consider, even, you know, besides the water issue that you just raised. I mean, can we get the crops? Can they be fertilized? And there are other issues to discuss here, you know, and how we can solve that.
Yeah, and my California grapes are now $11.50 a bunch.
Could get a lot worse. I just hope we're wrong about this. But, you know, there's been geocosmic stuff we've been talking about on this interview for, got to be over a year or maybe longer, about how it looked this year or next year. There could be, you know, planetary events, whether it's solar events, you know, whether it's, you know, volcanoes going up, you know, blocking the atmosphere and, you know, suppressing crop production and all kinds of weird stuff that the planet could be creating here, regardless of the fact that we've had shortages for, you know, geopolitical reasons and so forth. So this is sort of predictable. We're in the cycle phase that said there could be food shortages and higher prices, and we were talking about this last year. So it's unfolding, and it looks like it can continue for a while. So I guess the suggestion is you should stock up just to be safe, you know?
Well, of course, you say cosmic thing. We just had a solar storm where people in New Mexico could see the northern lights. So that's quite a bit of solar activity if you can see the Borealis. I can't pronounce it. Aurora Borealis. Way down south there.
I started my newsletter yesterday about the solar sun cycle, the flare cycle, and it looks like, you know, we're entering a period of increased activity. And I put this up almost every day. You know, I'm sure the readers think I'm crazy, or they say, what the heck are you putting this stuff up for? But, you know, one of those really hit, and it looks like activity could be picking up. We got a lot of other things to worry about besides Ukraine. You know what I'm saying? One of these things hit, you know, the world is shut down. So it'd be interesting how, you know, whether, you know, of course, this is a multi-year comment. I mean, we could be talking about the next 20 years of increased activity, but with one, you know, Carrington type event like we had in the 19th century, you know, that's going to put the, that's going to turn off the lights in a lot of places.
Right. The great blackout in New York back in the 60s, that was caused by a solar flare that shorted out the hydro lines, the power lines from Quebec. So, you know, we've had these events in relative recent times, and the Carrington event, of course, was the strongest solar flare ever recorded by humans. That was in early September 1859. The only electronics we had back then were telegraph lines, and some telegraph stations caught fire because of it. Well, we have a lot more electronics now than they did back in 1859.
Oh, I know. It's something you could sit and worry about, you know, like worrying that an asteroid's going to come. And we've been hearing a lot of reports about near misses of asteroids and a lot of crazy stuff falling out of the sky that's not being reported. So, you know, you can sit every day worrying about this stuff. But, you know, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. But anyway, a lot of interesting stuff this past week, Jim. You know, the big story for me was the Elon Musk acquisition of a bunch of Twitter shares. Of course, I always think of Elon as the modern-day Edison. And I thought it was a brilliant move on his part because, you know, he's sort of anti the liberal bent of Twitter. And he steps in there and buys, you know, billions of dollars of stock. And I think that's just a feather in his cap about who he is and what he's trying to accomplish. And then, you know, I think he's got a lot bigger and better projects ahead of us. So I think owning Twitter, but more like owning Tesla itself is probably a great long-term investment, like owning Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway stock, which has done unbelievable in the last 50 years. I think these are good long-term type of situations, but I'm really proud of Elon and that move in Twitter. And, I'm just so excited about that, both from a trading perspective, because it offers some nice trading opportunities, but the fact that he even made that move just shows who he is, you know.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, what's going on with gold and silver?
Well, you know, we're in this time frame that said that you could have a little weakness in April, and then potentially you should start rallying for a few months, according to the models that I've been looking at. So the weakness, the little weakness we've seen here, it's not too surprising, but if we don't start get going, you know, by the end of the month, May, then, you know, there's something rotten in Denmark, you know, with the charts and with the cycles. So, you know, it doesn't mean it can't run later in the year or next year and so forth. But, you know, we keep sort of a core position in it. But, you know, I sort of stuck my neck out. I mean, you know, we hit a double top technically when we ran up into the 2050-60 area here a few weeks ago, and that double top goes back to the October, I think it was the summer, September-October 20 high. So on the chart, you know, there's an expression in technical analysis, if you see a double top, you sell a double top, and sure enough, we pulled off of that. So the burden of proof is really on the bulls here. A good friend of mine, I quote him in my newsletter often, passed away, unfortunately, about 10 years ago. His name was Terry Laundry. And he did a lot of psychoanalysis and known him for many years. And back in 2000, we're talking 22 years ago, he told me, Mark, I think we're going to have the big high in gold in 2020. And, you know, I just kept, you know, it's like a note you keep on your desk for 20 years. And sure enough, the big high was 2020 so far. Never got higher since then. Even when we ran up last past several months, we sort of double topped up there. We couldn't get through. So, you know, his view is that that's it for a long, long time in gold. And I guess he'll be wrong, and we'll have to get more bullish if we break through that double top formation in that 2050-2070 area. Of course, I'm pricing it in U.S. dollars, in which case then I guess you could, you know, see a buying spree, and it could, you know, pop a lot higher. But short-term comments here, you know, keeping a small core position, looked like it topped out short-term, and I'm waiting for some positive action technically to encourage me that, hey, we need to get more aggressive. I'm sort of keeping my foot in the door, mainly because, you know, I distrust currencies, I distrust the government, and, you know, gold has been a vestige of strength or of protection for thousands of years. So it's hard for me to imagine it's going away. And even if Terry was right about the top in 2020, and, you know, we're set down or sideways for a few years, long term, I can't imagine it won't go higher. But you asked me this question last week, why isn't it going up? And I also mentioned the, it's not conspiracy theory. I mean, it's been suppression of prices by governments, particularly the U.S. government, for decades. And there's a lot of evidence supporting that. And the work and research behind that is a website called GATA.org, G-A-T.org. I mentioned that before. You can read all their research. It's very clear that there's government intervention in the market for obvious reasons. You know, the government looks bad if gold's taking off. And, you know, we know how bad a job the Federal Reserve has done managing interest rates and all the guidelines that were presented to them, with the U.S. dollar went down 96% in value since the Federal Reserve took over. So, you know, having a little position in gold probably makes sense. At some point, it really will take off, particularly if the government gets out of the business of suppressing the price of it.
What about word the U.S. government wants to regulate cryptocurrencies and bring in its own digital currency?
Yeah, we discussed this before. Yeah. You know, I think it's a bunch of nonsense. I mean, their digital currency will basically just be a replacement for your, from what I understand, it'll be a replacement for your checking account. So instead of having actual dollars in your checking account, you got digital, a version of your dollars. So, and they want to get rid of cash really badly because they can't track cash. There's a book written several years ago, The War on Cash. It was put out by the Swiss America Company. You know, the government just wants to get rid of cash. So digitizing it, I guess, helps them track you a lot better. But the world doesn't trust the currencies. They don't trust the government. You know, though I have to give Putin some credit here because he's trying to back the ruble with gold, and he's trying to make that the currency of choice because it's got something behind it versus the U.S. dollar, which doesn't, and other currencies which really don't. So if he can actually back the ruble with gold and prove that, it could become a very stable alternative. But as far as generally speaking, people want the cryptos because they don't trust the currencies. And for that reason, long term, you have to be bullish on them. And I don't care what anybody says about them shutting it down. They won't be able to shut it down. You know, it's a internet. A lot of it is in blockchain. Government couldn't get to it anyway. They'd have to shut the entire internet down worldwide to do that. And I think, a lot of the stories you hear about the government shutting it down or bad-mouthing the crypto, or Janet Yellen saying something stupid to you or the Treasury Secretary. I mean, these are just, you know, they're bluffing. I mean, this is, you know, this is just a lot of hot air, and they couldn't do anything. Was it China shut down Bitcoin and then reopened it after they shut it down? I mean, It's a standard. Whether Bitcoin's the best place to be, that's a question. What is it? 19 out of the 21 million coins have been issued. So there's a couple million that still have to be mined. And, you know, some predictions say that Bitcoin could be, you know, anywhere from $100,000 to $1 million a coin in the next 5 years. But, you know, many experts in this area, we have a crypto letter. We call it the blockchain letter. We list a bunch of stocks in there that related to the, industry, plus some of the, coins, and also some of these non-fungible tokens, the NFTs, which have been hot as well. So it's a future play. You know, it's not like you're going to, a lot of money's made in trading these things day to day, but, you know, long term, this is where the world is moving because of distrust of government, the printing of money, the whole nonsense. You know, we know what the U.S. government dollar is worth. I mean, it's worth zero. We have debt we can't repay, and, you know, it just is terrible situation. So the fact that companies are accepting the coins as a medium of exchange, the fact that there's so many out there being traded, and the younger generation believes in it, I think it shows you where the future is.
in Japan after their banking system collapsed after the Second World War. A lot of people still don't trust the banks, and they keep their cash in safes hidden under the floor or in the closet.
Right, but, you know, this is what they're trying to stop, though. You know, at some point they're going to make cash illegal or try to make it illegal, and then what are these people going to do with all their cash? Are they going to be penalized the way Roosevelt did with gold back in 1932, where they outlawed it, you had to turn it in, or you're going to go to jail? I mean, you know, who knows? Well, you know, government is crazy. They don't work for the benefit of people. They work for their own benefit to retain power. And, you know, one day you're going to see people with forks and shovels and pitchforks out there pulling people out of out of government and hanging them on the streets the way they did in France during the French Revolution. I mean, ultimately, government has gone crazy. We saw this in your own country with Trudeau, you know, punishing people who express freedom of speech and trying to confiscate their money and close their accounts. I mean, how far can government go without people revolting? So I think, unfortunately, more of this is coming because the governments are just absolutely flipped out. They use COVID to try to increase their power and influence. And it's really sickening to see what's happening around the world, but particularly we saw it here in the U.S., and we see it, I saw it in Canada. And we got other things to worry about, like our friend Klaus Schwab in Germany and George Soros. We talked about these people and the one world government and what they're trying to do. And, you know, but what did Klaus Schwab say? I keep repeating this phrase, Jim. You'll have no money, you'll have no assets or money, but you'll still be happy. I mean, that's the goal of the one world government. That's the goal of digitizing the currency. That's the goal of all this nonsense that, you know, we're fighting against. So, you know, we got to be diligent and we got to fight back. That's the bottom line if we want to see our kids have the freedom we enjoyed, you know.
Mark, always fun chatting with you.
Always having fun on this end too, Jim. Thank you for having me.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. If you have any questions for Mark or any of our other guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. We'll ask that question for you. Find us on Twitter at HowStreet, our YouTube channel, Talk Digital Network. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.